I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, by Jiminy, we'll have some cricket. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
All right. Has there been a more topsy-turvy night of baseball than Wednesday night, during which, for those who weren't watching, the American League's wild card was determined when the Tampa Bay Rays erased a 7-run deficit against the Yankees, and then some other team blew their lead against the Orioles with two out in the bottom of the ninth?
A more topsy-turvy day? Well, not since the Reds and the White Sox teed it up in the 19 series, my friend.
And that was only one game.
And they were trying to lose. What's been obscured by everything a little bit is how completely endearing the Tampa Bay Rays are. How do you possibly not root for this team at this point?
An excellent
the
question.
The one thing I didn't see coming was that they would fall behind 7-0 and come back to win. I mean, if you just told me that the Rays were going to win and the Red Sox were going to lose, I'd have believed you. But the idea that the Red Sox have a lead, go into a rain delay, and here come, as soon as anybody on that Red Sox bench discovered that Tampa had made a game about it again, it was all over.
Wednesday night's drama in the American League led to the termination of Boston manager Terry Francona, or at least that was part of it. He had led the Red Sox to World Series titles in 2004 and again in 2007. What do you think? Was Francona to blame for the unprecedented collapse?
No, he was handed a locker room full of jerks by his management, and it finally overwhelmed him at the end of the year. I'm glad he's leaving. I think his health would have been endangered if he stayed with this bunch for another year. He will get a job at managing a baseball team next year and do very well at it.
The National League had its own excitement this week, with a wild card coming down to the final game of the regular season. The St. Louis Cardinals edged Atlanta for that slot. The Cards open their divisional series with the Phillies in Philadelphia tonight. I would ask, who do you like? But Philadelphia's got to be the answer, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, we have some lovely parting gifts for the Cardinals. It's very nice that they battled their way into the wild card spot. I don't think they're going to be around very long.
Meanwhile, your Milwaukee Brewers.
Ah, now we're talking.
Host Arizona tonight. Beers, snakes, things of that nature. Sounds exciting.
Bratwurst, my friend. Hey, listen, the spirit of Pedro Garcia is upon me again. What can I tell you? I am on the Brewer bandwagon.
Once you've been there, it never goes away.
That's right. Even though it's not County Stadium anymore,
no.
With the wonderful tin bleachers, it's fine by me.
You've got in front of you, as we speak, the schedule for tomorrow's NFL games, assuming that you will not be in one of those taverns with 60 television sets featuring a dozen games simultaneously. Which of these matchups will you be watching?
Well, I won't be watching the Vikings and the Chiefs try to prove that one of them can win an NFL game sometime before the end of the season. I can tell you that. The Patriots at the Raiders is an interesting game because people seem to think the Raiders are a much better team than they have been in the past, and the Patriots are, you know, coming off just a staggering loss in Buffalo. And I'm a little bit intrigued by the Steelers and the Texans because I haven't gotten a good handle on the Steelers yet, and the Texans are playing very well.
Sweetness, The Enigmatic Life of Walter Payton by Jeff Perlman will be available in bookstores next week, but excerpts have already been released. The legendary Bears running back, who died in 1999, apparently earned the nickname Sweetness in various ways. His former coach, Mike Ditka, is not happy about the revelations in the book. What do you think?
Well, I mean, Ditka says that, well, first of all, Ditka said he'd spit on the author, which we can consider beneath contempt. But he said the book serves no purpose when, in fact, it actually does. According to the book, he used all kinds of pain pills and liquids and Tylenol and Vicodin and even nitrous oxide to deal with the injuries to his body that came as a part of playing professional football. And the more stories we have about that, especially regarding beloved players, the better off football will be, because it will try to resolve these issues. But ultimately, Bill, there is no way to have a functioning human body and play professional football for any length of time. It's not possible.
During an interview conducted in Indianapolis on Wednesday, NCAA President Mark Emmert said that his organization, and I'm quoting now, is not the NFL or the NBA, because the NCAA is not a business. So, it's a hobby that gets paid $10 billion.
That guy's the funniest guy in sports, I swear to God.
$10 billion.
I've been to the Final Four. I've spent $40 for the sweatshirt, okay?
Did you notice that the always festive parade of the Zambonis had wended its way through town this week? Because whether or not you did, the National Hockey League season begins next week. So I wonder if you'd like to offer us a prediction or two.
I have one prediction to make about the National Hockey League. That is, if it doesn't crack itself out of being a niche sport this year with no NBA, it never will. As for the team, I think this is the year that Alexander Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals finally live up to it. So I'm picking them.
We've spoken about how hockey's preseason has seen the league penalize players for headhunting, Charlie. The preseason has also seen some dumb and disgraceful fan behavior, at least in Ontario.
Yeah, a guy named Chris Morehouse threw a banana at Wayne Simmonds of the Flyers, who happens to be a black player. And, of course, Chris Morehouse's lawyer said he was only caught up in the drama of a tense game, a tense preseason game, and he threw the banana at Flyers in the hopes of preventing the winning goal. Okay. Throwing anything at another player so he doesn't score the winning goal in an exhibition season means not only should you be banned from NHL arenas, you should spend the rest of your life in a rubber truck, okay? We continue. He also says that he had no idea that throwing a banana at a black man could be seen as racist. This guy should not be allowed to cut his own meat or handle his own money.
The NBA lockout is still going on. The two sides have been at the bargaining table. Some say talks planned for this weekend are at the point of now or never in terms of salvaging a complete regular season. So are you optimistic or pessimistic?
I still think we're going to wind up with a 50-game NBA season, which will satisfy nobody, but they will at least get the playoffs in, which is where they make some money.
Charlie, the next time you're not feeling inspired about our weekly chat, here's my advice. On the way in, stop by a cemetery and just lie down for a while, because it gives you motivation just thinking about it, doesn't it?
This guy's a coach of a junior varsity team. Now, bear that in mind as we go on further. And they had lost a game, and they were coming back on the bus or whatever.
And where is this?
This is in upstate New York.
Okay.
And he pulls in Marcellus, New York, and he has the team pull over, has the bus pull over, and he has the players go into a cemetery and lie down among the graves while the coach talks to them about the importance of playing hard. When you're looking for more effort, a cemetery is not really a place where you're going to find examples of that. All of the people in cemeteries, most of them anyway, are dead. They're not trying too hard at anything but being dead. Now, the coach says that he was trying to use a scene from the movie Remember the Titans. And I happen to have seen the movie. Coach Denzel Washington is trying to inculcate solidarity among his black and white players, and he takes them to the battlefield at Gettysburg. He didn't take them there because it was a cemetery. He took them there because there was a story to be told about what the consequences of racial hatred can be, okay? That one made sense, okay? Mm. Bringing guys to sort of a random cemetery and having them lay down between the tombstones, that's just weird.
And finally,
Charlie. Take your kids to a factory.
And finally.
If there are any of those still around.
Charlie.
Yes, hello.
Barcelona has not lost a game in Spain's top soccer league this year. They have tied one, and maybe that's why the players felt that they needed an excuse. And boy, they've come up with a good one, haven't they?
Yeah, apparently Nike has given them new shirts, and they're made out of something called Dry Fit, which is composed of recycled plastic, ick, and apparently it holds the sweat in somehow.
Yick.
Yeah, double ick, more heavily than the old shirts
and
did.
It causes you to tie.
And they're blaming this for their tie. I think they should all go to a cemetery and lay down between the tombstones and relax.
Where everybody is muertos.
Where everyone, nobody is sweating.
Charlie Pierce is a contributing writer for Esquire magazine. He's also the author of Idiot America and various other books, and he joins me each week at this time on Only a Game. And I bet that he would do that even on a day when his shirt felt really heavy. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.
If you're perplexed by Patsy Cline, flummoxed by Fugazi, or bamboozled by Bartok, Brubeck, or Booker T and the MGs, please visit onlyagame.org to learn more about the music you hear on Only a Game.
Oh.